Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, enjoy your lunch, and listen to some of the coolest things on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now on to the show. Welcome to With Insights Radio, where it's 14 degrees in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
So we're all back, thawing out in the basement. Actually, I was already here, but...
It's cold out there.
It's cold out there.
Not good for man or beast.
There you have it. Show's over. Thank you, guys.
Good night. Thanks.
I'm glad my car started up on the first crank.
Good, good. I got to go outside and start my car.
My car started okay.
Wherever you all are at, I know we had a caller last night from Sacramento, California?
Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, California, and it was nice and warm there. And I looked on the TV today, they're supposed to be in the 70s.
Really?
Out there on the coast. So here on the east side of the Pacific, or the Atlantic, we are having a freeze all over except Florida. Florida's supposed to be like in the 70s and 80s today. But
winter has started early again.
On the flip side for California, they've had a large series of earthquakes in the last week also.
Yeah, would you take an earthquake over cold weather?
Oh, that's hard to say.
Wow, that's such a choice.
Yeah. But we're trying to stay warm, keeping warm thoughts in our head. Especially, I'm at that age where I'm going through changes, so I go through hot and a hot flash is
changes.
Good when it's cold like this, but a cold flash is just like going into hypothermia almost.
Hypothermia.
So, and some of you all probably are out there and you're like late 40s, early 50s, and you're going through different changes in your life too. So, you know, you could probably sympathize or empathize. So, but
have empathy.
I'm warm-blooded.
I was telling them about something women have, which happens. And the little changes, and that feels like you're being pinched in certain places hard.
And your nose?
So I think she's talking about the kneecap.
Yeah. It does have an end in it.
Yeah.
Or does it?
It does.
No, there's certain, yeah, there's certain things that people used to not talk about, but women out there can empathize when you feel like your nipples are being pinched off.
I don't know. I've never
but
had that
guys moment. Don't. Get that sensation, and it's a kind of a painful sensation. It's not pleasurable at all.
Well, it doesn't
especially
like
when
that.
You're cold, and then people are like, oh, your headlights are showing. I'm like, yeah, what am I supposed to do about it? They're being pinched off by Jack Frost.
Headlights were headlights.
Jack Frost nipping at your nips. And we're off.
Yeah, he doesn't just nip
that
at
topic
women's
will warm
noses.
It up. Yeah. Actually, I feel it like in my joints, like my knee. Seriously, my kneecaps seem to feel it. I'm kneecap sensitive. I don't know what the hell that means. But
like when I get too cold, like underneath my rib cage, I get like this cramp thing. But I can usually handle it. But I think it's just because I have a little extra weight too there than I usually have in the past. But
just got my little pouch.
We all kind of have little things that we have to deal with.
Because your body's trying to, the thing is you're trying to keep your core warm. Your body will do everything, take the blood and heat from the rest of your body and keep your core warm, which is mainly your heart and your other organs. Because if your heart and your other organs get too cold, that's lights out. So you want to always keep your core warm. And that's something, just like myself, I'm a big person, overweight, but my core usually stays warm during the wintertime. That's one thing I'm glad for being overweight, because I have a little extra insulation than some other people. And I don't see how some do it. Just like I was telling Iggy this morning, I was driving here. I saw this woman. She's tall, so she's got to be about 5'9 or so, and no bigger than a minute. She looked like she would be 115 pounds soaking wet, if that, running out in this 12-degree weather. So I wanted to yell out the window, go home and eat a big Subway sandwich or something.
Maybe she needs a burger.
Yeah, I mean,
she don't need
it's
a Subway.
Cold to be out there running and you're no bigger than a minute. I mean, if she were to stop running, I'd say she would just freeze up and crack apart.
She's just focusing on her reality, and that
yeah,
was her reality,
so.
To run and be in the snow and to be one with nature, to be one with the wind in her face.
Because I can do that with swimming, but running, definitely.
I love to
thing.
Run. I used to run a lot. I used to be a big jogger till I discovered video game parlors. Thank God they're gone now.
Yeah. I'm pretty warm-blooded. I'm good to snuggle with, I'm told.
Yeah, I keep pretty warm, too. You know, my wife will be like, why are you so hot? How can you say that? I'm freezing. I'm like, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm
my body's fine.
I'm the last person in the room to get cold, usually.
Yeah.
I stay pretty warm now, except for my toes. I have a problem with my toes being cold. So sometimes when it's like this, I'll wear socks or I keep a heating pad at the foot of my bed to put my toes on. Too many metal parts in my legs.
Yeah, it's funny we talked about this because yesterday on With Insights show, we talked about the Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, when the first snow comes, I will actually walk barefooted around my house or in a park, wherever I'm at the moment, and just to remember, you know, the ancestors who were pushed out of their homes, you know, and some of them left without mm-hmm. shoes or anything. They had to go. It was just one of those things, that tragedies that happen on these lands that we pushed people away out of their homes. And, you know, I want to remember those people because it was super important. For a lot of us, we don't really remember those things because it didn't happen to us.
Right.
But these things do happen. We are assholes sometimes as people to other
yep.
people. And being in the light or being in the dark, we affect people. And we have to know that. Hopefully we've learned something from that we should never, ever do those kind of things ever again to mankind.
Yeah.
But can't say that anymore because we're across the many oceans doing the same stuff to other people and
yep.
helping other people do it.
Similar stuff happened, just like they're not allowed to, winter months, the gas company is really not allowed to turn people's gas off.
Mm-hmm.
But once the weather warms up, they can shut you off in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. I've seen people evicted and their stuff put out on the street in the middle of winter, which that shouldn't happen, but it's like business is business. If you're not paying your rent, if you're not paying your utilities, you either get put out or get cut off. So,
an eviction usually takes a while. It takes a couple months before someone gets put out in the street. So if you see things in the wintertime, it's usually something that was processed in the fall. They probably hadn't paid rent since summer.
Yeah.
And
so if you get in trouble, just like I know here in the city, if you get in trouble, the city of Columbus, if you get in trouble with something, there's usually places and people and you can go to get help with, unless you've used up all your resources in the past and you're a person that kept crying wolf or something and not just doing anything for yourself or have any other resources whatsoever to where you get kicked out. Because it's not an easy place to get evicted from
mm-hmm.
here in the city. And when people do get evicted, it's just like, okay, something else was really going on to get them that far.
Sure, and you know, I mean, we can't really damn somebody for what happens to them. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
But it's also a damning of, you know, a belief, a damning of not being able to accept flow, not able to,
mm-hmm.
but the word damn, like a damned river, you know, versus being damned by, you know, somebody who doesn't like you. There's two different words, but they play on each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I just
you damming that energy up?
Oh, did you see my post from Sunday?
No.
We went to Mohican State Park. We took a picture because there was a dam up there.
Oh, okay.
I put some pictures of the dam, and there's actually a
beaver in there?
Well, there's actually... I saw at least two bald eagles.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
And but we took this one picture of... I was out on one of the trails that said damn ahead, and someone had taken a piece of chalk and wrote fun, so it said damn fun ahead.
That's funny.
Oh, that's nice. That'll be funny. I haven't been there in a long time, Mohican.
I expected it to be, it was totally beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally beautiful. And there's not hardly, there wasn't hardly any people out. We saw maybe 10 or so, but it was, it's amazing just how quiet, because we went up, so there are some caves, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it looked similar to Ash Cave and stuff.
Cool.
And
I'll have to check out your picture.
We hiked, I think I put about 15 or 20 out,
okay.
up there. But we hiked up pretty far up. I was just amazing. I was shocked at how quiet it was. I mean, you expect it to be quiet out, but I mean, it was like, even there wasn't even like squirrels or hardly any birds or anything once we got way up there. I mean, it was just like complete silence. It was a little bit weird. Like, you figure at least you'd see squirrels hopping through the leaves, and it wasn't. It was just like complete
wow.
silence. It was like,
Maybe there was something going on in the atmosphere.
Yeah, maybe there was a bunch of hawks or something up there that was scaring the other birds off or something. Cause it was like, didn't hardly hear any birds even, because even the blue jays and cardinals and stuff and crows
mm-hmm.
you see in, you know, winter still. It was like, wow. It was like,
yeah, I heard a
silent.
Bird outside my window today. I'm like, how can that bird be out there in that cold? So I don't know.
You know, they're pretty good with their feathers, but their feet are the ones that are very exposed.
Mm.
There's been birds who have been so cold their legs will freeze off, fall off, and they don't have any legs. Because there's no, I guess there's no, it's just like cartilage.
Blood flow
the
in
blood
there
very,
to
yeah,
keep it.
It's very different. So
that's why you see them sitting down with their feet up under them all
mm-hmm.
the time, trying to
keep
their
warm.
Feet warm.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. It's just like, how
can't be like Uncle Buck, who lost that left leg, you know?
Yeah.
Frozen. That's why they sit on the wires, too. Because there's heat conducting
oh,
the electrical
oh, the
wires.
The electrical energy coming through the wires. I wonder why, because it looked like they're having a bunch of committee meeting. You'll see a whole lot of birds together sitting
but
on...
We're just cold, Katie.
Sitting but
no committee here.
If you know of someone out there, this is the season of giving, but the season of giving should be all the time, not just during
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving, Christmas time. But if you know someone out there who's struggling or in trouble, or you know they, you know, have a heating problem or something like that, help them out. Offer to help cover their windows or do the cracks in their house or even help them out with a utility bill or clothing or something to keep them warm. You see someone on the street, run to Kmart or somewhere and buy them a blanket and just
mm-hmm.
give it to them. You don't necessarily have to give them money. Myself, I can't give people money, but I usually offer, can I go get you a cup of coffee or a sandwich? You know, I will... I'm not one to give out money because I usually don't have money on me anymore. But do something to help your fellow person out.
Yeah, there was actually, I went to a concert last night and we came out of the Newport there. I actually gave some money to, there was an older guy there who said he was a veteran. He was like in tears, like, you know. I know there's people out there scamming for money and stuff, but this guy felt very legit. I mean, he was like crying.
You know, sometimes
and
I just
like,
give to like that, like you're saying.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, this guy feels like legit, so I gave him the few bucks I had on me.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like really like beside himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and you know, when I feel even though I'm certainly not rolling in money at this juncture, but you know, I feel when you do stuff like that it comes back to you.
It does. It's like I told Iggy, too, I have two coats in my trunk right now that I'm going to take to, there's a neighborhood resource center I have in my neighborhood, and I asked them could they use a couple, because I didn't want to take it to the thrift store for someone to sell, even though a lot of the thrift stores do a lot of good work, but I wanted to give it directly to someone they knew that was in need, so I have two, and I'm a plus size, so I have two plus size coats in my trunk to give to the resource center so they can give to people that they know that are in need. And plus sizes are hard to come by. Once you put a plus size out there, it's gone in a minute, or it's gone before you even put it out there, because large sizes are very expensive in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have, my mom used to shop for me because she knew what I liked, and sometimes she had a little extra money. She'd pick up something here and there that she saw on sale or something for me. And at one time, I had like about 5 or 6 coats that I couldn't use, so slowly I've been giving them away. And I think I've got like 3 good coats left that I'm going to keep, you know, for play and dress up. And
sure.
I like to play dress up.
So, you know.
Sorry.
I know. We got to keep it light, too. It is
the time of remembering. It is the time of giving. It is a time of where we become a little more, more sedentary than we already are.
Yeah.
You know, we go back into our little caves and we hibernate. Some of us go skiing and some of us go do this or that, whatever. But it is important to remember that there are people out there who are less fortunate. And there are some listeners online, you know, sometimes, and they may be in that situation. We don't know that. We can only assume that, you know, things are going on. And, you know, so it's important to maybe help them out with resources where they can find things or, you know, talk to churches, talk to civic type organizations that help with that. It's important to, you know, for us to be a little bit more, I think, more involved in some capacity. We don't have to be completely 100% engulfed in it, but, you know, when someone asks you something, you know, hey, maybe direct them to the right direction. Hey, you should go try here, you know, try that. Like you said, the CRC, the Community Resource Centers, other states and may call it something else. But It's important to know these things because we really don't know when we're going to have situations in our life. We could just have one of those freak moments, things just happen, and, you know, you need help. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing wrong with going, hey, you know, I'm without. You know, at the capacity where I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we can live the love and light mantra all we want, the magical thinking that we call it, because it is magical thinking sometimes. A lot of us, you know, think that things are just going to happen, and they do happen. But there's some people who don't have that belief, and that's not where they're at. You know, the three of us could be there, but the guy next to us has no clue how to be there.
Yes.
You know, so we have to be able to say, hey, you know what? You should just believe, you know. You know, for him, it, you know, it's not about belief. It's not having. It's being, you know, I'm suffering. And
right.
So they're ready to move out of that suffering. We have to be able to be the love and light in a sense where, well, hey, you know what? Come over here and let's show you this CRC is available. You know, the Salvation Army's here, you know. And we have to be a different type of light. We can't always have to be the guru, magical, thinking
right.
light. We have to be the most, we have to be the practical light, too.
Yeah, just like, I stopped into Starbucks, got me a venti coffee, a medium coffee, and I had them put a little gingerbread spice in it. I seen people getting the largest one. They get the large or the extra large latte. That's $6, and I'm like, you have $6 to spend on coffee. Mine was like $2.50 or $2.60. And I keep a little, I budget out a little money on a Starbucks card, about $10 a month, so I can stop in and get a regular $2 coffee or something here and here. But, I mean, if you have $6 to spend on the highest priced coffee in the store, I know you've got money to go get a blanket for someone in need or go throw something in for someone to get some coats for someone or even... That's a meal. $6 is a meal for some people. So not getting on anybody's high horse, because I live off of so much a month. I know what it is to struggle. But, I mean, I got $2 to pay for my little coffee, and somebody has $6 to pay for their coffee. You know, that's a little bit of a difference. And I'm able to give to people. I know someone with $6 to spend on a coffee is able to.
Well, we're assuming so. I mean, maybe
I don't want to assume.
Maybe it was their splurge day. You know, maybe it was their day of splurging.
But you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
There
are people who have and don't want to give.
Anybody.
There are people who have and don't want to give.
And it seems,
but yet they have.
It seems like the people that are poor, the poor help the poor. It seems more so than the rich help the poor.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that statement. I don't know if that's true or not. I've seen poor people not help poor people, and I've seen rich people help rich people.
I'm not trying to judge or say anything. I'm just saying wherever you're at, try to give.
Sometimes things appearances are a certain way. A lot of big corporations give because they get a tax break.
But
they're still giving though.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have to think of it like that. They are giving something, even though. There has to be some kind of. There has to be an energy exchange too. You know, you know, if you're going to give and donate, well, then there has to be an exchange back. And so basically the exchange is, well, okay, we write it off on our taxes, you know. So that's the exchange.
Yeah.
So, which is good, because you know what? Then they give to more people receive.
Which is good. It's all about giving and receiving. You got to keep the flow going. And even where I'm at in my socioeconomic place, I try to keep the flow going because I'm constantly giving, and then I'm constantly receiving also. So I'm taken care of,
mm-hmm.
which is a blessing to be in that position, to be taken care of. Now, I've seen people who take, and
sure.
I've seen people give. And I never want to be in that position or accuse anybody of anything. So just in your own lives, try to keep the flow going.
Absolutely. Astrologically, where do we go from here?
Well, I made it. Earlier you were talking about the Trail of Tears and stuff, and you know, just the way that sometimes an entire group of people kind of get labeled, and like, you know, now there's some people have bad connotations towards people that are Muslim because they think they're all terrorists, and it's like,
right.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, general stereotyping of any group is just basically, because you're too lazy to think or figure stuff out for yourself, you know. And so the biggest thing that's going on right now astrologically is the planet Neptune stationed really early on this past Sunday morning. So Neptune, when a planet stations, you feel its effect really heavy for about a week on either side. Now we're going to start... Neptune is very foggy and fuzzy. It rules unseen things and secrets and intuition, and it's an energy that a lot of people are not comfortable with. And I saw an awful lot of, and this is typical for a Neptune station, I just saw a lot of people and animals that passed away in the last several days, just from Facebook feeds and from personal friends and stuff. You know, one of my best friends lost her dad a couple days ago, and I had lost my dad 3 years ago, right around a Neptune, within a couple days of a Neptune station, in fact. So this is probably little to no consolation, but just know that normally when people pass away or animals pass away around a Neptune station, it's usually Neptune rules anesthesia. So it's kind of, I know last week I felt right, really in like a sleepy, kind of dreamy state, like everything's like very surreal.
Mm-hmm.
So now that if you did lose a person or an animal recently, there's kind of a natural anesthesia out there, so know that in most cases their passing was probably very peaceful. Because Neptune is kind of the veil, the barrier between the worlds, too. It's Neptune is kind of about transitioning from, you know, like physical to spiritual. And then Neptune also rules the sign of Pisces, and Neptune is in the sign of Pisces for the first time since it was discovered. So there's a lot of weirdness about, a lot of weird energy, and the more attached to the physical kind of 3D realm you are, probably the more difficult this transit is. But note, if you did lose a person or a pet here in the last week, that it was from their end, it was probably a peaceful transition.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So
good
at least
know.
Have, you know, a little comfort in that.
All right. We're going to take a little break.
As he brings it down to
right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. And the crowd is cheering. Welcome back to With Insights. This is Lunchtime Wisdom with Katie, Mark, and Iggy. We're just here. We kind of have a little forum. We just chat and talk about things that are on our mind. And we share some of the insights we have inside of us. We believe that everybody has insights. And we want to let everybody know, as he shows me that picture. We have other shows on here on Monday. We have the With Insights Forum with holistic readings as well, with intuitive readings. And then we have on Tuesday in the afternoon, 11:30, Lunchtime Wisdom. And then we have on Wednesday, there's a show coming up, That's a Secret. And then on Thursday, we have An End of Love. And then on Friday at 11 a.m., at the moment, we have Mark the Rabbit Hole. As he's in Victoria Fuzzbottom.
Victoria Fuzzbottom, my trusty assistant.
Yes, and then we finish up the week with Mudtoe at Midnight, as he talks about his look on the world, I guess, is the best way to say it, how he sees the world.
His outlook on the world.
From his shamanic way, I guess. His medicine man. He's a good guy. I love him.
Yeah, Todd's fun to hang out.
But
before I brought the show to a screeching halt before the commercial break.
I like what you're talking about, though. You know, Neptune and all that, and how you were bringing
people
things in.
Usually, I've noticed that wintertime comes and there's a sense where people, you're usually, the death rate goes up a little bit during the winter months.
That will always correlates to the Neptune stations, if you look back.
It's funny you were talking about, because I watched a show the other night about frogs, and they were talking about this one woodland frog that actually hibernates by causing itself to freeze with the snow. And what it does, it creates its own antifreeze. It pees on itself, basically. Mm. It pees into its blood and cuts the oxygen from, you know, the cell. I don't know the whole
right.
But it just changes. It's just metamorphosis. It changes.
It's probably kind of similar to what a caterpillar does before it changes into a butterfly. It kind of pukes out its insides,
mm-hmm.
and it covers itself in its own regurgitation, which mm-hmm. It hardens and forms a shell, mm-hmm. and
right.
then, yes, and that's when the forms a chrysalis, and then that's when the caterpillar will begin its transformation into the butterfly.
Beautiful.
And so I found it really interesting. I thought it was really cool, you know, that this frog can do this. I'm like, I've heard of stories, frogs swimming through the ponds, get frozen, then come out of the ponds, and next spring they're ready to do the thing. So there's a lot of mysteries in amphibians. Amphibians have a lot of healing properties in themselves. They can regenerate, you know,
parts
and pieces, and you know, salamanders are like that too. They're pretty close to, when I was a kid, rip their tails off and watch them grow back. Over time, of course, it wasn't something instantaneously, but I think the human species is kind of like that too. We've forgotten things that we were able to do a long time ago, because I was always taught, and you know, by my teachers, that shamans were able to travel through the trees. They could go up to a tree, touch it, and go and be in different parts of the world because of the ley lines that run across the world and the connection, because it's all my relations, it's all connected, we're all one. A lot of people have a hard time believing that we're all one, that Katie and I are one. Some people would find that hard, you know, that Iggy and I are one, you know, that Mark and I are one, that we have any connection whatsoever. Oh, no, 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 I'm Irish. Or no, I'm from...
Right.
You know?
People get so attached to... Because even I've got, you know, I got into the genealogy and stuff like that of my family and tried to look up,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're from Scotland and France and various other places and stuff. And that stuff's interesting and everything, but in a way... But then, too, you look at it as like, you know, these are just tags. Like,
mm-hmm.
everything's
sure.
even... Because even, you know, even I can say, you know, even with the astrology, it's like, you know, trying to... People kind of get categorized into one of 12 zodiac signs and everything. And it's a good kind of a starting spot. But then, too, you know, that has its limitation. And that's why you've got to look at the whole chart and stuff. Because
mm-hmm.
just because a person is, and I know a lot of people, I know a lot of that, you know, their sun sign is one thing, but the rest of their chart shows a whole bunch of something else.
Mm-hmm.
So too, it's interesting for, like, little factoids and stuff, but you gotta look deeper to and realize that a lot of, you know, these things are just tags, and that, you know, it's kind of.
I agree. It's like when people tell me, "Oh, I'm 1/16th Native American." I'm like, 1/16th Native American. What, your toenail?
Right.
You know, no.
Right.
Hey, when you have 1 ounce of blood, you are. You know, you just are.
Right.
You can be whatever you want. I mean, when we just stop saying, "Hey, you know what? Maybe I'm a human being." You know.
Right.
Maybe I'm an Earthling or whatever you want to call it. You know, maybe I'm part of the planet. Why do I have to be this or that?
Right.
But you know.
Well, that's right. That's interesting, too, when you talk to, you know, it's like, what do you, you know, you hear, like, what do you do? And it's like, you know, some people attach themselves to their job title. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm assistant manager at Payless Shoes, or, you know, mm-hmm. just, or whatever. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting. Some people are, you know.
When they can sell
I'm
big.
Right, or I manage this, or I do this, or whatever, and then, you know, every once in a while you ask somebody, and they're like, I'm a spiritual evolving being.
Yeah.
Like,
are you a human
doing
or a human being?
Right.
Well, at times I'm doing,
right.
And sometimes I'm being.
Yeah, right, right.
No one wants to say they scrub toilets at Walmart, or something like that, but without
you can give a good title,
people,
though. You can give a good title.
Yeah, good maintenance person. But someone has to do that job. So that job is very, very important.
Sure.
People that are maintenance people are very important jobs, because without people to clean, then you come into a business or a place or something and it just be nasty. From nasty human beings that's coming there from upper levels that came in there and messed the whole place up. So I know, because, I mean,
I've been the toilet cleaner.
Yeah, I had a coworker somewhere who would go in someplace and just be nasty. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
after a while, people had to get on that person.
Sure.
And say, either you start being a little more hygienic, or you're going to have to be fired. So, because everybody else got tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone finally spoke up. And I'm one of those people that I usually speak up. Even if I guess I got to be the bad guy, I got to be the bad guy. But sometimes you can't, you know,
you're
those cleaning
girl.
People are very important. And I've done cleaning jobs where I've gone
into
done
cleaning
a,
jobs.
I used to do it at a medical office at some of the urgent care places. Me and my friend Melody, we used to go around urgent care places years ago and clean those up after the offices were closed.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to do it. And it was a steady job for a while. A little extra, it was like an extra money job.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I had another job that we both worked somewhere else, and then we caught this with another friend, and it was just like nice extra. Is there ever any extra money? But it was like nice, you know, more money coming in. So,
well, you know, money's just energy. Mm-hmm. You know, our services of energy given to whatever we're doing is just a reflection back of what we're bringing into our lives. You know, I mean, we mm-hmm. get what we put out. So if we don't give value to ourselves, you know, we don't think that we're worthy of that position, then we're not going to get it. Because there's parts of us that will block it off. There's pieces and parts. Not all of us. There's little pieces and parts that say, hey, you know, I don't deserve that. Because somewhere down the line, someone taught us that we didn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the human struggle is about the stories we tell ourselves. You know, the stories that we buy into. The human struggle and the human adventure and the journey coming out of that is what we learn from that. You know, do I love myself? Do I understand what loving myself means? There's a lot of people who don't get that. To love yourself and honor who you are, that you are part of God, that you are part of the creation, that you're a splinter of that creation. A lot of people struggle with that constantly. I work with people who struggle with that. And they struggle with that for many reasons. There's no really one set reason. But a lot of it is the programming. We've talked about this.
Right.
About the programming that they have absorbed into their computer, which is their mind, their body, their cells. And it just plays over and over and over. You put a virus in this computer, it doesn't work. It turns on, but it don't work. It doesn't go anywhere, you know. And then it does the same thing over and over. It repeats the pattern over and over and over.
So I think the message is you have to believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Okay, so how do you believe? You got to be like this unicorn, you know, on my shirt.
Which says you have to believe in yourself.
As a horse's.
As I look at the post on my wall yesterday of an alien reading a book. or reading a magazine and it says how to believe in yourself.
And you know what? What I've come to find is that it's hard to believe in yourself. There's people who have a hard time with it. I have a hard time with it sometimes. I'm not going to be the first person going to say, well, you know, I got it all figured out, man. You know, I'm in the love and I'm in the light, man. And I can, you know, and I'm all one with the, you know what? I am all one. I get that. But I have to also understand that my brothers and sisters are not all one with everything because they don't get it. So I have to have empathy for them and understand that, you know what? I can't make them feel bad because they don't get it. I have to live an exampled life. You know, I have to just do what's right, and it shows, and it works. My life's good, man.
Yep.
I look at my life, and, you know, the people around me are powerful. They're loving people. You know, I don't get a lot of crap in my life.
I don't either.
You know,
I don't either.
Very little, you know. But there used to be a time that, man, I used to get it. And I used to be so negative, and I used to be like, oh, that guy's an asshole, you know, this, you know.
Yep.
I'm just looking back at and reflecting back. Now the mirror reflects differently. Now it reflects to me as an observer versus somebody's, there's an issue of them that's in me. No. It's a reminder, too. Oh, wow, that's a potential. But, you know, I don't have to own that potential, you know. I don't have to be there.
Right. So a little message I've got in the last year. I get into a lot of discussions with people about how we create our own reality and everything. And I'll promise you this, even if you're not – even if maybe someone out there is not that good at manifesting things yet. If there's something in your life that you don't like, once you can't just say it, you have to believe it. But once you say, I am no longer tolerating this, then whatever it is goes away, and it has to go away. And I've seen this repeatedly in the last year or so. As long as you continue to put up with something, guess what? It's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not going. If you have a boss at your job that you don't get along with, or a coworker, or if you're in a relationship, or with your landlord, or whatever, you know. Now there's lessons to be learned in all these things and all these relationships, and there's give and takes and things like that. But once you've tried every effort, and it, you know. At a point, you just have to say, I no longer allow this to exist. I no longer tolerate this. And then...
it's like enough is enough.
Right. Then once you say that and mean it, then those things have to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you create your reality.
In my reality, in my mind, it's all love. The good, the bad, the ugly. For me, it's all love.
What you put out is what you get back.
You know, it's just love expressing itself in ways that we sometimes don't understand as human beings. You know, God created everything. In my opinion, the universe created everything.
Yep.
So if everything is created by something, the source is so beautiful and powerful, then everything has its purpose. Everything has its higher purpose. And that's where I'm at. And that's what I feel. And that's what goes through my blood and through my body resonates. But that doesn't mean that you have to own that. It doesn't mean you have to own that. But that's just that's how I work. That's how I function.
Right. It's like last night, me taking the wrong turn and end up going in a big old circle before I got here. It was dark. So there was a purpose in me going around in a big circle before I got here yesterday evening. And I think maybe I avoided an accident, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was funny, when I turned around, I was at a big intersection, busy intersection, and it's like time stood still. All the lights were green and stuff, but no cars were moving. And I came and I turned around in this big intersection and headed in the right direction, and it's like time started back up again. So that was to me, that was surreal. And just like everything has its purpose, for me to go the wrong way and end up going the right way again. So I just threw that in here.
No, that's good. And that's some of it, too. That's a lot of things because I've run across a lot of, this is, with the Neptune station, this is a lot of things seem to feel surreal or dreamlike in this period. And I've mentioned, it can be very disorienting, too, because Neptune tries to align us with spiritual things, and our intuition and things, and not with the physical things we see, feel, touch in front of us. So, and sometimes we question, you know, even I've been thinking a lot, you know, about which direction to go with a lot of things right now. And I've run across a lot of other people that have been saying, man, I feel kind of lost right now. I'm kind of not sure which direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the purpose of these Neptune stations is kind of tells you to, hey, maybe stop running around so scattered in so many different directions for a minute, and take a minute and listen to your inner voice and slow down for a minute,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, look for those internal answers and then as we move away from the Neptune station, then things, you know, the fog slowly starts lifting and we kind of take those little messages we got during that period, which maybe seemed a little confusing at the time,
right.
but then they become more clear and we know how to proceed. Kind of like we're in contact with the spirit realm a little bit more during these periods. And then
mm-hmm.
it's like we kind of download messages and then we have to decipher them to...
Mm-hmm.
I got pretty much the same thing. It's just like the other day I kind of sat down and was making out a list of some things I wanted to complete before the new year, and some things I wanted to finish or projects I wanted to at least get started that I wanted to start before the new year. And just like something I'll do today, I want to go get I've got some pieces of, this may sound, I have some pieces of fleece,
mm-hmm.
long pieces of fleece. And I was thinking about making shawls for some priests, monks that I know
mm-hmm.
that are in the Krishna movement, that where they're at, their house that they're in is not always warm because it's an old house. And I was going to take those long pieces of fleece and make them a few shawls for their, and maybe put a little border around the fleece to make it look a little, not fancy, but... more than just pieces of cloth, and crochet some, because I did that for some people last year when I was in Georgia, and I'll do it for them and use those. And that's a way of my giving to people that are, because you know how monks and priests are, they live off of what's given to them. They don't live on things that are, they're not rich people at all. So I wanted to do that and finish that up, and then just some things personally, just like finish painting my apartment and get the pictures up on the wall, and maybe have something with my friends over, a little mm-hmm. gathering for the holidays. So I'll let y'all know when that is.
Is it next year? Or?
See, I've been in my apartment 3 years and I haven't moved in yet.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I've moved into is the bedroom. I've got the bed and all that set up nicely.
I've been in the kitchen,
but not the living room. I never did the living room.
I've been in my apartment for a little bit over a year now, and I hung like my first picture like 2 weeks ago. I got a ton of pictures. I got everything set up that I needed to function and everything, and I still had some. I was just like, I'm so done unpacking boxes and moving furniture and stuff around. It's like, yeah. So I just now got. Once I re-sign my lease, I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm here another year. I feel like I can finish unpacking.
That's our spirit dance, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, finish painting and get the ugly green carpet up, and I've got a nice area re-vacuumed. There's a big oriental rug in there that'll look nice on the wooden floor, and another big carpet someone gave me, brand new carpet, throw carpet, that I could put down in the bedroom area, and it's just like, move in already.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit saying, finish. Because then once you get that done, I can move on and give you something else. So, you know how you get stuck? We get stuck and we get into places where it's just like, sometimes you feel like, why bother? But
are we really stuck, though? You are listening to WickinTice Radio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. And we are back to With Insights. Lunchtime Wisdom. We're quiet today, aren't we? Usually we're really we're a little more talkative.
Yeah, laughing and chuckling it down and chuckling.
Usually we're like, hey, what's up? What's going on? I think we're just kind of going along with the weather here.
Yeah, that
we're like that piece of snow hanging on that branch out there.
Yeah.
Just hanging on.
Kind of brutal weather for middle of November.
Yeah, well, remember last November was like this, too. People don't remember. I remember.
I don't remember.
And, you know, we've shifted the seasons as human beings. We've actually helped shift all this stuff, you know, consciously and, you know, physically with the pollutants and stuff we put in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're very powerful. Human beings are very powerful. We have no clue.
Absolutely.
The things that we do.
Absolutely.
To ourselves, to others, and to this planet. We're all one, man.
Absolutely.
And we're all one.
Yeah, you know, we're just regular people sitting here. Some of us got a
little... Well, I don't know about you.
Somewhat
regular.
You know, like, I don't want to say regular or average Joe, but...
I mean, average Iggy.
You know, live every day, and we have problems just like, you know, problems and breakthroughs and victories just like other people. And
Katie's hating me right now.
You're always...
She's going to throw something at me.
Well, it is. I mean, we talk about things on here and stuff, and it's like, you know, it's not that we're any smarter than anybody else out there listening. It's just that
I'm the smartest man I know.
I think.
I don't know about you.
I'm the smartest person
and the dumbest
in this
one
chair
I know
right now.
No, but I know what you're saying. Sorry,
but it's just we've got. But just it's just a, like we've maybe traveled different paths and maybe have looked at things a little differently. So. It's not that we're any smarter than anybody else. We just maybe have some unique perspectives on some things that maybe that we can share with people and help them. And sometimes all it takes is a
Thank
little
you,
change
Diggy.
In
I really
perspective.
Appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that, Diggy, with me. Thank you, Iggy.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you.
I love you guys.
It's just like some of the things we go through, we know other people out there go through, too.
Oh,
and,
right.
And how we
right.
get through them may help.
Absolutely.
Someone else get through their situation or know that there's victory or light at the end of the tunnel.
And you know, and I know all of you guys have helped people. I know I've helped people help themselves through whatever they were going through. And they've told us. They've come to us. And I, you know, and I give it right back to them. I say, hey, well, you know what? You had the faith and the belief in yourself that this could happen. I'm just the vessel, man. I'm right here to guide you and walk with you. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, happens to both of us. Because if they're healing, I'm healing too, parts and pieces
of
myself.
True.
And then I get to experience that. Those are our, what's cool is that there are our experiences. You know, that's, you know, you get to do this and I get to do that.
Because if we're all related, like all my relations, if you're going through a struggle, that means I'm going through the struggle too.
Yep.
And if you're going through the struggle, I'm going through the struggle,
right.
I feel your pain.
Well, that's what they say. If you're there and there's a problem, you're part of the problem. It's also part of the solution. So,
So
what's the... If my brain were working, I can remember who made this statement, but somebody famous made the statement that as long as... It may have been Martin Luther King or somebody, but as long as one person is enslaved, then no one is free.
No, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think that's a very valid point. I mean, no matter how we look at it or twist it or turn it, you know, it is. As we all shaking our heads like this.
Yeah,
I know you all can't see us shake our heads.
No, but we're thinking about it. It's processing. It's rattling through our subconscious, and it's going through the file cabinets of life and, you know, past lives and going, wow, I was a slave once, or this, I was, you know, enslaved. I was a slave keeper, you know. We've played a lot of parts in this creation of this world, directly and indirectly.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. I got a really good past life reading a few months ago from... Julie North.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, wonderful being. She's been to Jump Circle, too. She's been to Jump Circle a few times. Really nice person. But, yeah, so one of the things I'll share you a little bit of my reading I got. So one of the things that I had you know, our the things that happen in our past lives come in, you know, some of the odd quirky things we have are because, you know, in my belief system anyways, that through things that happen in previous lives, mm-hmm. that cannot so some of my peeves isn't the right word, but some of my little weird clicky things are I will not wear a wristwatch. I can't have anything around my wrist. If it's cold out and I have a long sleeve shirt on, I have the sleeves rolled up. I mm-hmm. cannot have anything around my wrist. I also, wearing a tie is, if you try to put a tie on me for more than a few minutes, you're going to unleash some kind of crazed animal, because I can't have anything around my neck either. I can't have anything around my wrists or around my neck. I can't even, if I see someone wearing a turtleneck or something, I'm like, oh.
I get on it.
So I had asked Julie in this reading, I'm like, okay, apparently I was a prisoner or a
That's
criminal or something in a previous life. Because if I get stuff tight around my wrists or my neck, I mean, I'm just like, I just completely wig out. And she's like, she told me I was on a slave ship like in the 1600s, and I know this will be hard to believe, but I acted up apparently.
Oh, really?
So shocking, Adam, right?
Should we hit you now or later?
Some things don't change between lives. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so I was chained up and, you know, locked up down below the ship deck down in the hole. And then, two, I was, she told me I had one life where I was a woman in this life, and I was married to or in a committed relationship with
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Some rich guy or whatnot and whatever who had many mistresses and things, but he was very abusive. And she told me that in that life and in at least one other one that I had had, I was killed by having my neck snapped.
Wow.
So, you know, I can see with a lot of people that were the some of the weird physical quirks or ailments that, you know, don't really seem to have you know, I've never broken my wrist in this lifetime or never been arrested or anything, but that's just such a strong sensation with me that.
But you
I think that's
you
where
teeter
some
on
of
there,
the
though.
Past
you
life
teeter there, don't you?
Teeter where?
You teeter right on the, you know, the brink of maybe you could get in trouble.
I do.
You know, you do teeter
that.
There. I see you. I mean,
play
I teeter, but you play it safe. He does play it safe, but I can see he sticks his toe in there from time
I do.
To time, and he's like, "Okay, I'm right here. If you want me, get me."
I do.
Oh, toe's gone.
I am. I'm a little bit of a Wascally Rabbit
yes,
like that.
You're a Wascally Rabbit. That's awesome.
But just seeing just how some of the, and I mean to me too, kind of the. You know, I'm sure, you know, a baby when it's in the womb, I'm sure senses its surroundings and stuff and whatnot. But just when you see little kids or newborns or babies, it's like some of them come in and they're, you know, they're all sparkly and full of life. And some of them are just upset and crying from the get-go and kind of stay there. And it's like, you know, how much conditioning can your current surroundings have when you're 8 minutes old or a day old or whatnot? So to me, you kind of see
number one,
past life things.
You're not a day old, though.
Through their eyes.
You know what I'm saying? You're not really a day old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You've actually been processing since when the day the two cells collided, you know, the sperm and the egg collided.
Smack.
You know, so there's a lot of schools of theory on this, you know.
Right.
The way I like to share my take on how energy doesn't
get destroyed. It just mutates and changes and manifests into something else. It's like water. All the water on the earth is still here. It just evaporates, goes someplace else, gets trapped in rock or whatever. Well, our energy is the same way. We're living inside this huge dome, this huge planet. You know, some things do escape and go out. But you know what? It all gets reconstituted back into the earth, and it all gets remanifested into the cells of the earth. And so there's people who believe that there's historical miasms in your cells that record that information and pass it on, and that's what you're playing back. But there are other people who believe that you actually were there, and you played a part in that, and you were there, and then it's called reincarnation. People call it reincarnation. Mm-hmm. They get reincarnated. Who's to say who's right or wrong? I can't say that any of that's right or wrong, you know, because all those versions serve somebody at some level.
Right.
And so the story you're telling is something that maybe it did happen to you, or maybe this, you're doing some memory, too. You're remembering things. I don't know. It's not for me to say, oh, no, you're wrong.
See,
that's the crap that I get sick of.
Right.
When other people try to tell other people, oh, no, it has to be that way. I know. Because I'm in touch with Source, and Source told me.
Right.
Well, you know what? Source is in touch with me, too, and it's telling me that there's this option as well, you know?
Right.
So, I mean...
Subjectivity. Everything is relative.
Yes.
Everything is relative to where you're... all my relations.
You know, so when I'm listening to people, I'm going, you know, that is a possibility in a parallel universe. But, you know, it's true. I believe...
It's true, because myself, I was... I had past life things done too, and I've been a man many times in past lives, and I have male tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gay or anything, but sometimes I feel like a man trapped in a woman's body, and I'm a gay man in a woman's body.
hey, I'm. Same thing with me. I mean, I have more feminine traits than masculine. And I, you know, I've come to accept that. And I.
So what you're saying is I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body? What? No, but I know what you're saying.
Because I love men. I love.
I love women.
Male.
I love my woman.
Parts and what and things.
I love women too.
I'm sorry, but I have a lot of male tendencies, and I can't stand being around women and women's groups and stuff. Mm-hmm. I hate that kind of thing. I don't like shopping and getting my nails done.
Most of my friends I hang out with a lot, or the majority are women.
Yeah. And I love sports.
I'm the same way. Majority of the people I hang out are women.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like guys like that. I mean, who like women's stuff.
I've had some past life regressions, too. And I tell you, man, some are really cool. And some are really deep.
And
it makes sense why I have a lot of, you know, female friends.
Right.
Because I used to be... how would you say it? You know, when the king had, or when royalty had concubines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my job was to go out and find the girls and bring them to the person. That was my job.
I believe that person was called a pimp.
Okay, in the modern day, I was a pimp. Or actually, you know. A lot of my friends who I work with deal with a lot of women who are shanghaied, who are stolen or kidnapped. So it's kind of funny that they're in my life, and I never really truly worked with them, but those memories are there, and they're haunting sometimes. They're like, wow, man, that's pretty powerful when you see women.
Like, I was a warrior in a few lives. I like fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And today I used to like fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't like fighting, like growing up, you know, being bullied. But if I saw someone bullying someone else, I didn't mind stepping in and punching somebody. I hate to say that, but.
I was a wounded samurai. Once I couldn't go to battle because I got wounded in practice, and so my whole life had changed. I wasn't allowed to go and do the things that I wanted to do. Never got to live that part of my life that I wanted to be part of, which kind of carried into this life a little bit. But this time I'm making sure that I'm doing the things that I want to do versus not doing the things, and nothing's going to hold me back.
Right.
I guess that's part of, you know, when you have parts of yourself that like doing something or don't like something, it can play into that. Past life memories, you know, and that it makes sense to me. It made sense once I learned about some of the past life stuff. I'm like, now I see how that makes sense.
Or I have a very vivid imagination. One of the two.
Yeah, my parents used to tell me I had a vivid imagination when I was a kid when I would tell them stuff.
I would tell my parents, too, like, no, it happened. No, it done. They're like, no, no, you know, you're watching too much TV.
Let's get right. you into counseling.
So we don't have a TV. How am I watching TV?
Right.
I was into counselors.
I mean, and that's all interesting, too, because anyone who can get in touch with other dimensions or talk to their spirit guides or connect with their past lives is kind of, it's like, you know, they're schizophrenic or they're crazy or they're whatnot. And it's like, why? Why is the idea that just what's here in front of us now is all that there is?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why is that the consensus theory? I mean, that sounds like crap to me even physics tells us that energy can never be destroyed. It can only change shape.
And that time's an illusion.
And that time is an illusion. And that, you know, even right now, I mean, mainstream modern day science keeps getting closer and closer to the conclusion that there's multi dimensions out there and that there's, I mean, you know, they tell us that 97% of the universe is black matter that they can't identify,
mm-hmm.
and that 90% of our brain we don't use. Really? There's a use for everything on the earth. Everything that exists has a use.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really a plausible idea that 90% of our brain is just like junk matter that does, or is it more likely that they can just contact things that we haven't figured out a way to measure yet? It's doing.
How about if that 90% works at a subconscious level or super subconscious level,
right,
that we don't even understand, that we can't comprehend with the conscious mind?
Right.
If the conscious mind tried to absorb and try to figure it out. You know, I'm God. We're all God. You know, I am God. Some people will disagree with me on that, but, you know, the statement I am, God says that. I am that I am. You know, I am, you know, there is no, so I'm part of the I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So that part of that that part that, like you said, 9% we don't use, what would happen if we could actually see what happens in that moment? You know, who knows? There was a movie that came out just recently about that, but the girl took these drugs and it opened up her mind and she was able to tap into, you know.
Mm.
But she also disintegrated because she evolved.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? She actually ended up becoming something else. She
oh,
reached the
wow.
point to where she actually, I forget what it was called, Lucy, I think it was called, the show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we went to see that, you, me, and David.
Yeah, and so this woman, you know, I love the movie because I understood what was happening, and I got it. She actually was able to go to the first, you know, homo, you know, sapien, the first ape that stood up and walked on 2 feet and passed the knowledge. She touched the finger and touched the knowledge to her. So it's the I am aspect, you know, she...
Mm-hmm.
Was she God? We're all God. She was able to tap into that point and go to that time and share what she had seen, showed her to the future. You know, now how we create the future, that's up to us too, you know, where we go from there. You know, there was a video that I watched on Netflix. It's called I Am, The Secret. There's a secret about accepting all the things you want.
I saw
have you
that,
seen that
in the doctor.
I am God.
I haven't watched it yet.
It was real powerful. It was real powerful and it was really strong. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And I've run into people like, oh, but we can't be God. I'm like, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. You're not getting it.
You're not awake yet.
You know, and, you know, it's like, I'm everything. I'm part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm part of this chair. I'm sitting in this chair, so I'm part of this chair at this moment. You know, I have these headphones. I'm part of the headphones.
Some religious
I'm part of the internet. I'm flowing through the internet right now. You know?
Yes, we're all part and parcel of each other and of the super conscious, the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
We were all part of the mind of God before we even came into this earth. So
you take a rock and you take you and you boil them both down. It's just all the same. It's all carbon based, you know.
Intergalactic, planetary,
intergalactic.
Mm-hmm. So that's like when we have, if you ever have an outer body experience, which or you meditated and gone out of your body, is your consciousness basically is going, sometimes you can see a cord or yourself flying around, but your actual physical body is gone, is not with you, and you're flying around the universe. I've gone places
all
over.
Let me ask you a question.
Doing that.
Now that you brought that up. are we really here?
That's a good question.
I mean, are we really here? Are you really in that physical body that you're like, yeah, we're knocking on the table, we feel that.
Yeah.
But are we really here? My mind, how do we know that we're not playing out something energetically to make it feel physical? You know? Maybe we're not the bodies that we think we are. Maybe we're not the things we touch.
We are not this body.
You know, maybe we are.
Maybe we're everything.
You know, we're just, you know, if we truly, really wanted to be everything, like you're saying right now, we could be over there. We could be over here. We could travel. But we put constraints on our thinking and where we're going and how we're flowing.
I'm not really cold. It's just
maybe you're not cold. Do you remember the last breath you took? Do you remember?
Yes, I'm breathing now.
Yeah, because I brought you to that conscious awareness that you're breathing.
And that's things you're not really aware of. You do automatically. Yeah, I mean, this body will do things automatically.
That's why I love The Matrix so much, the movie The Matrix, if you guys remember The Matrix.
Yeah.
It made you think about probable things, possibilities, and things that, you know, wow, are we in a matrix? Yeah, we're in a type of a matrix, yes. But how we flow through that matrix is the mystery. You know, we're kind of like, but is it a mystery? I guess that's what I'm provoking you guys to conjure up in your minds there and wiggle it around and get uncomfortable and get greasy with.
Oh, I'm very... This is a very well-trodden rabbit hole for me. I live in this rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, I do too. I just don't
talk
about
I mean, there's...
Think about that.
You know, how do we know all of these... You know, how do we know there's not... We're not living out 70 lifetimes all at the same time.
It feels like that.
And that, and that each choice we make splits off into a different, its own reality, you know, as if we, you know, we create reality, we create the things around us and whatnot. How do we know, you know, if I'm going to marry person A or person B or take job A or job B or buy house A or house B, how do we know that there's not a different reality where, and one of them we buy house B and
yes,
the other one we buy house A.
Those are pure thoughts you had, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They did go.
And
that was just an episode of Doctor Who I watched not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah. It was one reality decision in one reality affects another reality.
Yeah. And you know, Mark, in another universe, we're married. You know, Katie, we're married. You guys are married. We're all brothers and sisters, you know. We're all gangsters in another one, you know.
This is going to sound crazy, but in one reality, I'm probably like a sane person. I know, that may be a stretch, I know.
In one reality, I might be a woman, you know, or I might be whatever that reality is.
Right.
It's hard to say. I told that to Todd one time. He's like, I don't want to be.
This reality is
Because I don't
want to
be married to you, Iggy. I said, we're not married in this reality, so you don't have to worry about it.
How do I know that right now I'm not a leaf in Cambodia with a small tree frog sitting on it?
You just said it.
Word. Word to your frog.
The question is, are you the frog or the leaf? I mean, maybe you're both. And the tree.
And I'm a crocodile that comes and snaps and eats you up.
Magical guano. Just had to go to the magical guano ride, didn't you?
Sorry, that just popped in my head. As a crocodile glide.
No, but it's funny,
water.
You know, when you start to think, you know, when people create these creations, these movies and these shows that you watch, that a lot of us love to watch, someone really had to think deep about that. Someone really had to go outside their own, you know, point of reference, you know, their own upbringing and their religion and stuff, and take it. You know, when you look at the Bible, there's some pretty fascinating stories there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really metaphysical stuff that happens.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. And then we're not allowed to have those experiences anymore?
Right.
You know, I think so.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, there's a whole new movie now called Exodus coming out. It's a movie called Exodus.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen the commercials for
I forget
who
the...
Christian Bale.
Was he Moses?
Yeah.
I'm partial to Christian Bale.
I'm Moses!
I'm Batman.
I'm Moses. Free my people! He's got his staff.
Actually, he's in one of my favorite movies ever. It's called American Psycho.
I knew you were going to say that. Why does everybody like that movie?
I love that movie.
I've never seen that, but I've seen one of his first ones when he was a little kid. I remember a movie about where he was in China called Something of the Sun or something.
Oh, Children of the Empire of the Sun.
Empire and that's one of my favorite movies.
Wow, I haven't seen that forever.
That's a long
actually,
movie.
I rewatched that probably 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He's been in a lot of good, excellent movies.
The Machinist was another one I liked.
I liked
that
one,
he was
too.
In.
But I haven't seen the other one you just mentioned.
American Psycho.
I'm going to have to...
It is a...
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's a brilliant social... it's very disturbing. But it's also, in a dark way, it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
It was a very good social commentary on just how people are just zoned out and really aren't paying attention to other people around them and what's going on. And, the writer who played it out in a very interesting way, but just all the, him talking about Huey Lewis and Phil Collins and everything.
Have you seen the Huey Lewis remake of that?
The what?
Huey Lewis made a remake, a little video of it.
I think I did.
You have to see it. It's pretty funny.
Yes.
I think he invites.
You posted it a while back,
yeah.
I think. Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yes, hilarious. I did remember that.
Okay.
He put on the sheet.
I forget who he chopped up, but...
Oh, yeah, it was like Weird Al.
Oh, Weird Al, yeah.
Yeah,
it was Weird Al.
Yes, that was...
Because he did a spoof on his song.
Brilliant, hysterical, yes.
Yeah, they don't have American Psycho on streaming and Netflix, but I'll have to maybe see if the library will get it in for me.
The library?
I've got a copy of it I can let you borrow.
I could watch Netflix right here while I'm talking to you all.
Yeah.
On my phone.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I wouldn't do that to the audience out there.
Oh, you do it to us, but not the audience.
This is funny how in the last 20 years or so, we've all watched cell phones go from something as big as a shoe or years ago, the car phones were in a big box that looked like a big transistor radio.
People don't even call these things anymore. People
no,
text and, go, and
can,
navigate.
You don't,
yep.
It's like my phone's ringing, and then I can't catch it long enough because my phone's across the room somewhere because I don't use it. I'm used to, So
yeah,
I
was amazed. Yeah, because the thing that I found interesting a couple years ago is they started off with kind of the big cell phones, and they started getting smaller, and so they had the little flip things, and then all of a sudden it got cool again to have the bigger ones, and so phones started growing again.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, it was like
from
like
the
one
little teeny,
right one day it was like I have the smallest phone ever, I can slip it in my pocket, and then now it's back to like,
yeah.
Well, I can watch mine's big enough, I can watch movies on it.
How you like my phone?
They right. Get us in their pocket, they sit on it and crack it up.
Right, you gotta have a backpack now to carry your cell phone in. You know,
and my cell phone is stronger than my first computer.
Yeah, my cell phone destroys my first computer.
Yeah.
I had an Acer Aspire 2700.
Yeah, my computer, my phone,
back in 1994. And all kind of stuff coming across your screen. I got this download where I get a penny per commercial that pops up on my screen, and then I just swipe it away. But a penny.
And they're so expensive to have, but yeah, we're I think we're preparing to go into another phase of human evolution. And the reason I say this is because nobody really talks on the phone like they used to. Unless it's business.
Yep.
We're all texting, if you notice.
Yep.
We're all learning. That's telepathy.
I never call anyone. The only time I call on my phone is if I'm running late to, if I got to, call.
I don't even hear people say, just call me. I hear people say, just text me.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and on Doctor Who, they had these little earbuds that people put in their ears where they just got direct downloads of news, sports, anything they wanted. But there was someone on the other end of the earbuds that eventually figured out, I can control and take over these humans by tapping into the ultimate computer on these earbuds.
Mm.
So that was another thing where humans weren't really, everybody stopped, everybody just, humans were actually robots now because, and they didn't know they were being robots because, oh, they just had their little Bluetooth earbuds in, and, but in a way, that's happening now also.
Yeah.
Doctor, I don't know, I came across Doctor Who, and now I'm just like seeing the actual
watch
things
the first
that's going
one.
On.
Watch
on
the real
now.
First one.
The real, the classic, I'll
the
have
classic,
to get into the classic.
The classic Doctor Who's are good too.
Okay.
They make you think about stuff.
And it's funny how...
And every time Doctor Who, what, he goes into another phone booth, he comes back as a different Doctor Who.
Mm.
Like after a certain period of time, he changes his form.
Yeah, that's what he just...
Time Travelers. What do they call
yeah,
them? The Time...
I've only
time
seen
Lords.
Bits and
time
pieces.
Lords, yeah.
I've...
I think
show.
I'm about... I've gotten hooked on it because I'm in like the third season, second or third... The end of the second season or the beginning
Doctor
of the third
Who.
Season of the newer
Who.
Version.
Yeah.
But those shows, those science fiction shows have a certain amount of reality. I think people who are given that knowledge are really given warnings for us or something from the, you know, from the
H.G.
creator
Wells.
Or something. From the Almighty saying, look at this.
Those kind of movies, The Time Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Modern day prophets of sorts.
Yeah. 1984 should be a must read and understand to graduate high school in this country.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to understand politics, if you want to understand politics as the whole, the guide for it is 1984.
And a lot of technology today came out of science fiction. You know, even the helicopter, I saw that on a show Sunday, that even the modern helicopter came out of a science fiction story.
Sikorsky.
So I was like,
the helicopter wasn't even supposed to work. It defies, you know, the laws
mm-hmm.
of physics. And Leonardo da Vinci was inventing sketches and drawing sketches of the helicopter way before it was even...
So
I think he's a time traveler.
Be, they're always giving us downloads and trying to tell us something if we would just listen.
Sure. I mean, look, Leonardo da Vinci tapped, you know, the universal consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
One either tapped it or he was here and he drew him differently so it didn't give himself away. And then the Vatican, he was like a mortician type. He would study the human body and it was illegal. He did in the Vatican, but he would cut up the human body and look at the muscles and draw
veins,
sketches of it, the veins
that.
And everything, and he was...
I like those pictures.
That's why he could, you know, make the art he does, because he went really deep with it. To, I mean, they didn't have TV back then, you know, they didn't have computers back then.
It's like, wow.
And he wasn't allowed to go to the elite schools, because he wasn't an elitist. A lot of people didn't know that. So.
And just like the ancient Egyptians already had electric lights and
mm-hmm.
batteries and
yep.
stuff that they've dug up and seen, and it's just like, okay, we're not the most evolved species or time period.
No, we just think we are.
The human race has constantly reinvented itself and been here and left and been here and left. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I watched Ancient Aliens with my friend Melody yesterday also. So and a lot of that stuff makes sense to me. May not make sense to you all out there, but it makes complete sense to me. So.
No, no, we get it. We get it. I get it.
I know you all get it, but people out there, these guys are nuts.
Take
a
nut.
If I don't make at least one person think I'm crazy a day, then I've not done my job.
That's funny.
Oh, wow. Oh, don't you just love life?
So we talked about resources. We talked about the I am factor. We talked about love, sort of, in a weird way. Past lives.
Death.
Fear.
It's all an illusion.
Yeah, it's not real, man. You know, I used to be afraid of dying, but now it's like...
I know.
It's like,
there
was a time where
this is the hard part here, is trying to navigate this 3D world. With
yeah.
all
you know, when you start
crazy thoughts
when you start getting connected and you're in the flow with things, you're like, what's death?
Right.
I mean, death is, you know what death is, I feel, for some people, is regrets stored and compounded. All the things they wish they had done, the wish they had said, and the things they would have forgiven, and all the friends they should have made and kept along the way, versus all the things they wanted to acquire along the way. You know, I would rather have friendships over buildings any day.
So would I. Just like I was talking to a person that's helping me, a person I see that's helping me this morning, and I said, most of my blood family, they're off doing things with their other families, their in-laws and all that for holiday season, I found out. But I said, I have my family of choice. I said, my group of friends, we're getting together for Thanksgiving, and we're having a potluck. Everybody brings something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, usually now, holiday times, if I don't go to where, out of town or somewhere to where some of my blood family is, then I will usually spend the holidays with friends, with my family of choice. And that way you don't have to have the drama and stuff with family members. So we make our own, we have our own, we make our own reality in our own life and our own life choices and all that. So,
you know what, it's interesting that you say that too, but it's also them making their reality,
mm-hmm.
you know. So them pushing you out, or you feeling neglected, or it's part of their what they've created in their world too. And it plays off on you too. You feel it, you know. You feel that.
You mm-hmm. do.
And you're like, okay, I feel that. But it's not about you. See,
it's about them.
It's about where they're at, not where mm-hmm. you're at.
Because I even know, and I've been told like, I love my older sister very much, and I like being with her, but There's some things about me of which she's mad about between her and what happened with my mom. And my mom's come to me and told me, and about my life, that she wishes she could be more like me, which I'm outgoing and vibrant and I do what I want. Even though I don't have money all the time, I still manage to do what I want, and she
mm-hmm.
sometimes feels trapped in her own little place, even though she has money and a big house and all that. So I don't know. It's just like, sometimes you don't understand things, but sometimes you can see the other when you look at it from the other person's
sure.
point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so it's never and that's something when I talk to other people, I'm like, don't take things personally. Even though it feels personal, try not to take it personally. Try to see life or reality from someone else's point of view. Look into their reality if you can.
And that's hard.
It is. Try to see through their eyes.
Yeah.
Or walk a mile in someone else's shoes for a while.
Mm-hmm. That's why you should appreciate the shoes you have.
Mm-hmm. With my big size 10 feet for a woman. I have big feet for a woman. Big wide feet like ducks.
Okay. We will take your word on that. Closing thoughts, Mark? Thank you. Or something you want to leave with our listeners. Not easier.
I like zoned out for a minute. So, okay.
Excuse me as I cough away the
show. Okay, so I just keep getting like series of messages over and over again. So one of the things between, because I'm running into a lot of people needing to get out of their job situations too. This is coming up, and just like everything is a magnet. Whatever energy that is out there attracts the similar energy. Whatever energy is inside of you attracts a similar energy to it. So there are a time when a person's vibrational level no longer resonates with another person's, or no longer resonates with their work environment, or if you want to be miserable and engage in something really futile, a good thing to do is to stay in a, try to force yourself to stay in a job relationship situation that is no longer at the same vibrational level that you are. If you want a whole bunch of frustration, that would be a good thing to do right now. Is to try like vibrations and like energies are attracting. Trying to stay in old paradigms where you've already learned your lessons and your vibrational energy no longer matches with your living situation, job, relationship, whatever. I've been getting a lot of questions from people. Is my job going to end? How, you know, I no longer. You've got to stop the clinging kind of fear-based thing of, is this situation going to end? Yes, the situation's going to end. I can't tell you that it'll end tomorrow or in a week or month or whatnot. I can look at your chart, your astrology chart, and give you a good idea when it might end.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if you feel that you no longer belong in a place, yes, it's going to end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead of having the fearful outlook of how long can I stress myself out to the very max that I can tolerate and scrape for bones at a job, relationship, whatever, that I no longer resonate with,
mm-hmm.
and makes me miserable, then yes, like, I will give a blanket energy to everyone on the earth regarding every question you have. Yes, it's going to end, and probably sooner than later. Start looking for things that uplift you vibrationally and people that uplift you vibrationally. And for jobs that fulfill your creativity and uplift you vibrationally. So there, I just gave an astrology reading for everyone on the earth on every situation that's going on.
Sure.
Things that resonate with you vibrationally will come into your life as you get rid of the stuff in your life that does not work anymore.
Mm-hmm. We kind of talked that last night about getting rid of stuff and cleaning out what doesn't work for you anymore. And there was a couple of people that we gave readings to that were looking for different career situations or seeing if they should get out of a situation they were in. So that does make sense for, and just like me trying to, you know, clean up some of my stuff, give some of my old stuff away. We all have been kind of unpacking and going through things and get things ready to give away. It's time to get rid of the old. So you can create the flow for new things to come in. So that's my parting thing, is to get rid of the old stuff that you don't need, that's hanging around and gathering dust and stuff that doesn't work for you anymore, even whether it's clothes, books, knickknacks, crappy crap, and...
Not your husband's or wife's.
Yeah, but make room for new things to come into your life, to flow into your life.
Right.
For, I don't know what 2015 will bring, For most people. I'm not a numerologist or an astrologist, but I know about the flow, you know, keeping the flow going.
Flow, Joe Mojo. Right.
If you want to attract good things into your life, then put out that vibrational frequency. If you put out the vibrational signal of fear or I never have enough or I'm a victim, then I will safely predict what you're going to get back.
Put out that abundance. I am abundant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I attract good things into my life.
That's right. Your focus is your reality. So
yes,
mind what you're focusing. You know, what are you focusing on? Becomes your reality. So I am abundant. I am abundant. I am receiving. I have received. Versus, you know,
it works. Even though it sounds super spiritual. It works.
I love Katie's laugh. Are you abundant?
I am abundant.
I am the spirit.
I would like a nice glass of wine. I manifest a glass of wine.
Waiter.
Right.
Katie's manifesting a glass of wine. All right.
Yeah, there's some wine for you.
Wine.
I take a hot cup of tea with honey.
Well, our time's about up, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and listening to our wonderful show, as we do on every Tuesday. We have fun giggling and laughing and sometimes go off and...
go all over the place.
You know, we go off and do craziness in our little minds, whatever we're doing. But, yeah, your focus is your reality. Go out there and, you know...
manifest.
And see what you're focusing on. See if that's what you're getting. You know, if you're getting more of that, then maybe you need to switch gears a little bit and, you know, recalibrate a little bit. So go out there and do your spirit dance and have fun with it. And we will see you guys next week. All right. And with that, spirit dance in your pants. All right.